Hello and welcome to What a Jazz Podcast. I'm your host, Elsa Vishnevskita, and today I invite you for a very special episode. In November, we had LHC Europe happening in Sofia, Bulgaria, for the very first time. You might have been following the updates, the videos, or maybe competing yourself. It's so exciting to have international Lindy Hop Championships come to Europe. So today I invite you to listen to a panel talk that happened on the very first night of LHC with the artists and judges of this year's event on competition and culture and the relation between those two. You will hear artists Marie and I, Monsel Dorden, Remy Kwakwe Kwame, Tina Morales Armstrong, Latasha Barnes, Mo Sakan, Elise May, Felix Bergal, Vincenzo Fezzi, and a special guest that tuned in from New York, Miss Mickey Davidson. They all shared their approach to competitions, their thoughts, divisions, also their insecurities, their hesitations. It's a very open and honest conversation that hopefully invites you to think and reflect on your relation to competitions. And maybe it gives you an extra push to prepare for the next competition or the next competition event. LHC is happening in May in New York. And maybe that will be your chance to participate and get the inspiration or the extra challenge. It's so interesting to hear the panel talk and how everyone's approach to competing is different, meaning there is no single way of approaching competitions. And you have to find a way that works for you and your own reasoning to do it. Finally, it's beautiful to see a competition event that is striving to redefine what competitions mean and to find ways of doing it that are more connected to the Black African American art form and culture. So, without further ado, LHC Europe panel talk with artists and judges.
Yeah, yeah, that was the official sound. Good evening, everybody. Dobry večer, is that right? Yes. Welcome at the International Lindy Hop Championships Europe. It is true, it is happening. Very happy and delighted, and I think all of us to see so many of you here gathering. My name is Sepp. I will be your host for tonight and also during this event together with TJ, which is a humble pleasure. Thank you so much for inviting me to facilitate the upcoming conversations. I'm based and born in Belgium, and I'm very happy to see that we have an amazing, beautiful crew of people from all around the world here in Sofia, Bulgaria. We're going to hold these talks, which we're very excited about. It's our way to honor this dance and this African-American art form, and therefore we have organized the space to talk and to invite knowledgeable, wise, and very beautiful people to share. Yes, you can. Yeah, have a look. their insights, their wisdom, their knowledge. We're also going to have a very special guest that normally should hear us. Yes, great. So stay around. Tell your friends who are not here to join in, if still possible. What we're going to do today will be about jazz competition. What does it mean? Why do we do this? Where do you want to go with it? And we're going to have a very simple question to all of you beautiful panel members. What is your pick on competition? Or we're going to have Remy, who did organize and invite all of these beautiful people. So go, Remy. And
hello, everybody. Now, I think it's good if I start off because I'm the one responsible for this topic. And I need to be super transparent with you. I think it's beyond jazz competition. It's competition and culture. I think to me, they are related, and at least I grew up with this sense of competition in my life in general, in a healthy way, not in a negative way. And so I asked my colleagues over there the difficult task to share with us what competition means to them, and my what the word competition means to them, or how it is related to the culture to them. And I gave them the limitation of do that under 3 minutes each. Because at the end, I don't want it to be a lecture. I want it to be a reflection. So you leave that space and you can reflect, what does it mean to you? So I would start it off, because I got the microphone. To me, competition is something where I had a beautiful opportunity to challenge myself, and I grew throughout challenges. I love challenges in general, and I think I grew up having challenges with friends in sports or in dancing or in DJing or in life in general, how to play off each other. So to me, that represents community. The word community is in competition to me, in my take of it, and challenges for growing. So it represents growth to me. And without it, I think I wouldn't have grown that much in life in general. So who want to go next? What? Tina? All right.
Hi, everybody.
So just kind of piggyback off of what Remy was saying. For me, competition is part of Black American culture, and that's what we do. And so I have kind of a pet peeve when people are on social media and they're talking about Lindy Hop and they say things like, oh, well, it's a street dance and, you know, it shouldn't be about competing. And I'm like, what are you talking about? This is what we do in every area of life, from who makes the best potato salad, who in dressing, everything. Everything's about competition, and it's not negative, it's positive. And it's always like to better yourself or see the best in other people. And so it's never from a negative connotation, it's always positive. So for me, I love competitions. I love seeing them, I love seeing people do better. That's what I love.
I got my own. You have a timer? 3 minutes? Chapter one. Joke aside, for me, competition, it took different meanings, because I grew up with what Tina was saying about competition being part of everyday life, but I forgot about it because I had been into the competition within the Lindy Hop scene. And then we had that very conversation with Tina. When she said that, I immediately could picture my mom spending weeks choosing her outfit for church. Because she wants to outdress the other ladies at church. But it's it clicked that, yeah, this has also been part of my upbringing. Like, competition has been part of everyday life. But when Remy asked the question today, what I was thinking was, competition is personal. It's personal and it's relationships. And it's how I compete because I want to challenge myself, or I want to find a way to practice because I'm lazy. And then you register for the competition, and then you have to practice. I also compete because of my friends, because my friend did that step, and I'm going like, wait a minute, go practice, come back, hey, check this out. And then my friend's like, okay, go practice, comes and check this out. So it's like a way of connecting with my friends, and also a way of connecting with the community, and it's positive. So that's, for me, it's building relationship through betterment of the self, of the connection with the others and overall of the whole community.
Hello. I'm gonna keep it 3 minutes.
I mean, okay. Four is fine.
Nah, 1 minute to do it. I agree with my other panelists what they said, but I have a completely different take on it. I don't mind organic competition. Organized competitions, I don't like. I grew up, same thing, battling and being in the clubs and dancing. And whoever I'm against, well, first of all, it's not a circle all night. We're all dancing. Definitely. And then every now and then a hot song comes on, and those of us that like to circle up will circle up. But as soon as the circle's over, we're back to dancing with everybody. And it was the same thing. Like, somebody did a move, or I did a move. I can't do that next week. They'll laugh at me. I got to come up with something new, or I saw somebody else do a move, or I got to flip it, or they, you know, whatever. So there's always that. But it was, again, it's just organic. It happened. Nobody's judging it. I might still say I won, and this person might say they won, or the crowd has their opinions on it. And that, for me, is cool. But when it gets to being organized, I don't like it so much. But that's about
Can
it.
Can I be able to take that one?
I have to. I have to. I have to. Because when I reached out to Montel, we met before, and we knew we wanted to do something together. And so I reached out to him to come to LHC Europe when this whole idea came up. And I said to him, I want you to come to teach, to judge, and to talk. And he said, like, yeah, sure. I come to teach and I come to talk, but I don't judge. And then I was like,
talk me into this.
And so we exchanged, and to me, that was all his point, was the reason I needed him to come. Because I think, to me, it's not about, like, the organized competition, and we are in right now, but it's about how we can change to find that organic way of pushing ourselves within a context that is not fake. So there is a long way to go, but thank you for agreeing to be here. And that's the beginning of a change to me.
Thank you for the invitation.
Anybody else want to go first?
Yeah. I'll go last. Can I just one word, representation. I do competition. It's like who I am, how I appreciate the dance as a guest of the culture. That's how I've been challenging myself, and I'm like showing who I am, and I'm like how I can, you know, express how much I love this dance and culture.
You don't want to.
I hope I can keep it short. I have a conflicting love-hate relationship with competition. I think I'm a competitive person, but I think I've experienced both good and bad competitions. Maybe when I grew up, the competition was different. It was like ballet competition, so it was... I think it's hard because then if you're all trying to do the same thing, then you have to be the best at doing that one thing. And also I think it's not a very maybe supportive competition. And I think through Lindy Hop, I have experienced good moments of like competition where I really got excited about like being on the floor and seeing somebody kill it and be like, oh, I'm next, and feeling really hyped. But there are also moments that I've experienced where I felt like, well, I wasn't good enough. And all the emotions that come with it of dealing with, like, oh, I'm not good enough. Like, it's hard because, like, I like being challenged and I like to put myself out there and I like going towards what I fear. But at the same time, I know that I'm going to have to deal with, like, serious emotions and keep on pushing and keep on, like, accepting myself, even if, like, well, maybe I was not part of, like, the people that were preferred that day. And so... I love it, and I also am like, ooh, it's like the little butterflies. I hope that we can, I think part of it is also maybe when it's natural, maybe more when I feel like it's real and I get support from my friends and I get excited, then it's it's cool. But when I feel like it's a bit maybe sterile, then it's hard to be out there and pretend like you're enjoying it when you're just kind of like not really enjoying it. So I hope we can get to, yeah, a place where it's like really fire and where we all feel like it's okay to like bring our best and know that we're still part of this thing. And that also, because we're not, it's not, it's a dance where individuality is super important. When I judge, it's like also hard to feel like, oh, I have to make a decision, because it's a progress, you know, it's a journey. So like you judge people at that one point in time and you hope they don't feel hurt if they're not chosen, because like I see you all like compete and like evolve through time, and I really enjoy that. And so, yeah, I hope we can all like support each other and give our best.
All right, I have three words. Upbringing. I started when I was 8 years old, and I have been competing since I was 9. So it's a huge part of my upbringing, and that upbringing, it's part of community, because in Sweden there's this huge, how do you say it? Like the schools, it's not a school, it's like a community thing?
Association.
Association, thank you, Marie, yeah. So you just come together, and parents and kids, they help out with everything, like selling cookies and stuff. So the friends and the community, even if I am myself a guest in the culture too, I recognize some of the things that apart from being together with a group. And I would not be the same person today without that upbringing, which I value a lot. Second thing is failure. Failure is a huge part for me with competition. But failure that brings growth, going back to what Remy said. So many years of working hard and growing within yourself and feeling that you are growing as a person within that process. Not necessarily always knowing what the goal might be. And the goal might change as well from when you started to what it is now. I remember when I went to IDC the first time, 2013, I was part of the Swedish group and Swedish team. And it was all about winning. There was nothing else. If we do go, we get some money to support the flights and everything. Privileged Swedish government and people. It was all about winning. And if you didn't win, you failed. But that process has changed, right? I don't go for that reason anymore. There's so many other things that are... But if I didn't go, I wouldn't experience the failure. And I wouldn't grow, and I wouldn't understand the things that are more important. So, upbringing, failure, and growth. That's the three things I want to share.
Okay, good evening. It's pretty hard for me to say in these 3 minutes what is competition to me, because as many of these people, and actually as Felix said, it's really part of my entire life. So at the moment I feel like I'm in therapy with a lot of people. So yes, so exactly. I would ask for a drink, but I said no. Yeah, I've been competing all my life, but I think I changed in the latest years. I think growing and I think in the past any failure was a disaster for days, a complete disaster. Lately, it's less of a disaster, but still, of course, it really touches me, because there is a lot of effort that we all put into the competition, to go to the competition itself. But on the way back from the restaurant, on the way here, I thought, going to the therapist, what is competition for me? And I think I realized that, well, not today, actually, but I really enjoy the performance, and I really enjoy the preparation of the performance. And I think for me as a human being, there is nothing that really pleases me the most than seeing people entertained by what I do. And that could be being at the table and throw a fantastic joke, it really makes me happy that everyone is happy.
Yes, 100%.
Yes. And in the dance is... and in the dance is the same. I'm happy when I can see, like now I cannot see you. So, but I think you're having a good time. I see some contraction of the muscles here. Now, beside the jokes, I really enjoy the part of practicing, being in the studio. Mo is here. We dance a lot together. And the process is the one that really makes me happy. And then there is the final moment. In Italy, we say the Saturday party in the village, which is the moment where you prepare the Sunday party. And that's what makes us, maybe Italian or maybe only Vincenzo, happy. A talk of me in third person, like I'm not here. Well, I'll try to be serious. Yes, the preparation really make me happy. And then when we go on the dance floor, when I go on the dance floor, I'm really happy to see if what I do entertain people. The judgment that I receive from the judges, as I said, it used to be very important to me. Now it's a little bit less important, but I still take it in a way that I want to see why, not necessarily why, but I want to see what happened in the competition. But I also know that I try to speak the language that I speak in the dance, which when I started, I tried to copy the videos, the old videos, and I tried to be exactly the same. And I think through times, this kind of went away by naturally. And I think I found a language of with my body of speaking the dance, which is, of course, different from everyone because we come from different society, extraction, and countries, and all the rest. So if you want to re-summarize, but I think you understand the point of what's competing for me. Yeah, and the enjoyable part is something very important. As Ali said, if when we are on the dance floor, the fun doesn't come through, and when we judge, it's very clear if it's horrible acting or if it's actually honest and true, I think it comes across. So, yeah. Okay, this was it.
Trois minutes. Okay. So for me, a lot of the perspectives that I hold have been shared. Walking back, thinking about this as well, not assuming, because I know a lot of us have a lot of competitive experience throughout our lives, but I think, been indoctrinated in the space of competition since birth, quite literally. I never thought about it that way. Well, only 72, according to my mom. Competition, so I'll start with that. Competition is a part of my legacy. It's a part of my heritage, apparently. My mother, even in that state, competitively, 72 hours of labor. Yay, 1980s. But more succinctly in that, my father was a competitive athlete, as was my mother. My mother was also competitive academically. And it was always through the stories of their lives, not just them telling me, but my aunts and uncles and grandparents telling me about their happenings, but not, oh, they were going up against their classmate to win this scholarship. It was always in the vein of, well, your mom was actually sent to open high school and because she was the smartest at this, and your dad got to do this because he was the strongest at this, and your dad got promoted at this level because he did this, and your uncles did this thing because they were the best singers, and then your whole family did this because they were the best dancers in the community. It was always a part of the storytelling, the competition. And I very quickly realized that I was starting to fit into the family story, and I was like, well, where is my competitive aspects going to come from? And it very quickly started to show itself. I threw the best tea parties as a little one. And it was always just, it was never, as many of my African-American and Black compatriots have said, it was never a thing of to try to eviscerate the other person. It was always this, well, Remy's tea party was the best this week. well, Pearls is going to be the best next week, clearly. Like, clearly. And it was always just a fascination with, well, who is it going to be this week? And it took this conversation for me to really sit with that, to realize that I've always been looking for the competition, not in a sense of like, who am I going to beat today? Who am I going to smoke today? But just who's working, who's training, who's practicing, who's like, in, as we say colloquially, who's in the cut, like really shedding, really trying to see how they can maximize how they express to this music, how they dance in this space. Because sometimes it wasn't even about the song. Sometimes it was about being the one that was recognized in a particular club. Like, yeah, they were the champ at this event. Tina said, that would have been me. You know, like, and even getting into the realm of dancing competitively, I thought I was done with dance when I came into that space. And seeing that there was an international scale of people sharing so fully and freely in house dance, a style that I had been around all my life but didn't know was an established, organized thing overseas. I was like, well, I just want to get good enough to talk with those people. But talking with those people meant competing at the level that they were competing at. And that was a space that I was existing in before I ever even came to the Lindy Hop community, which is something that apparently people don't know about me. And it's, when I got here, it was the same. And as Remy had many great conversations with me about, and Tina as well, I didn't come in with that, well, I'm a world champion in this thing, so where do I go? I came in and was like, triple what? Where are you sending me? Why are you sending me all the way? What, I got to run back? What's this twist thing? What is a swing out? And there's still some times when I'm dancing with new people, I'm just like, do I understand what this thing is? Or I connect with someone who's coming from one of those styles that I already do, and I'm just like, wait, this, you're sending me somewhere else. And anyway, as Mo was sharing, it's about representation. Having a very firm understanding of myself and wanting to make sure that that voice is shared every space that I'm invited to be in. And it's not about winning, which I recognize and I've shared with Marie, is sometimes something that I'm often rebuffed for, or moving away from academic language, ignored for. Because I've won so many things that I've participated in, when I say that, people look at me as though that's disingenuous. All I've ever wanted to do was share who I am, because I, not to get emotional, always have felt it was a privilege just to be here. And that's why I make that partial joke about competing since I was born. I was a preemie. I was 2 pounds, 3 ounces when I was born. I wasn't supposed to survive. And then looking at my racial context, wasn't supposed to survive that either. Then how I got to dance, wasn't supposed to survive that either. So I'm just always in a space of immense gratitude and wanting to share how these amazing people inspire me, how my elders have inspired me, how this dance inspires us. Why wouldn't you want to share your perspective on that? Yeah, the winning thing seems like it's tied to so many other things, but even if you win, you still have to be confident in who you are in order to deliver that in a classroom, in another performative context. You get a moment, and some people take that, and it's the pressure of the moment. Oh, my God. And, yeah, that can be a thing. But as everybody, I think, has said, it's that moment, and they recognize, this is who I am right now. C'est la vie. You like it? Great. You don't? Great. Sometimes if you're in a space where you've been working really, really, really hard on who you are in that moment, and someone says they don't like it, you say, all right, I'm going to need you to show me why you don't like it. Because I like me more than I like you right now, so let's go. But, I mean, that might be a different context. I mean. But it yeah, I'm gonna keep it short. Sorry, it's legacy, it's legacy, it's tradition, and it's community in all of its facets. It's ways for you to enter into the conversation, whether you think you're gonna win or not. So you should show up.
Yeah, give it up, everybody. Wonderful sharings. Thank you so much.
I want to add, because like Tina, as some of you know, maybe some of you don't, actually Tina is one of the owners of LHC. And there is another one called Sylvia Sykes, and I just want to quote her because I think she has something about competition that kind of like struck, like stayed with me when I heard her saying that. It's normal to be scared. Like to me, actually, even when I go and do a teacher demo, I'm scared because you want to do good. And Sylvia is like, well, after the performance, it won't change who you are. Like you won't be a different person. You know, so at the end, this is something, you see, well, I don't know, it's Sylvia Sykes, I'm sure. No, but the thing is like, honestly, that you do good or that you do bad, you will be still the same person. And to remember that is important because even if you win, you just win. I've been world champion at some other things. And realistically, I realized that I've been world champion over just that night. Like the day after it was gone. You feel satisfied and happy, but it doesn't change you, who you are socially. So all the thing that I've been said about being pushed, showing up, it's the real thing. I won't lie, it's good to win, but it's much more than that. The process, the share, Exactly. And it was important to me to have that talk now at the beginning of the weekend because I want to set a mood and a tone about trying to fight that fakeness and trying to realize that we connect to something bigger than just winning a competition. And to be honest, on the organizer, maybe I'm talking too much now, but on the organizer side, we're already thinking about how we can make the vibe warmer at the Top Los Centrales room. So there is much more, like again, realness and groove. And so I wanted everybody to reflect on that.
So you said that when you win something, you're still the same person. I think you should still be the same person. And sometimes people aren't the same person. And those are the kind of people I don't want to be around.
All right. Beautiful. The intention was to set the tone. That's done. Awesome. We have really good news because we have a screen over here on your left side. Where we're going to invite a guest, I think straight from New York? I'm not super sure.
From New York.
Yes.
Yeah, she's in New York.
She's a wonderful person, a dancer, a choreographer, a community builder. She's been working with artists like Cecil, a mentor, and much tradition barrier.
You can bring her. Everybody.
Please welcome.
Yep. Wait, go for it.
Yay! Miss Mikey Davidson, everybody.
Miss Mikey Davidson.
Greetings. Yeah. It's been fascinating hearing people's talks and their opinions because that's the beauty about jazz. There's so many different ingredients and how you put them together and it all comes out to expression and creativity. Personally, I did not and have never gone into per se dance competition because dance has been my way and my vehicle of making a living. But in listening to people, and one of the reasons why I see competition, inspiration, and motivation as different things. And there is, when you compete, there's a winner. How you judge and what the criteria for that winning is different. Culturally, in a long time ago, the community chose who the winner was. When Tina and some of the other people talk about how that competition within your neighborhood and even when we used to do those early morning things with Frankie, he'd be on the side just watching to see what we're doing, to see how he might be doing it a little bit different. I take that all the way back to the plantation with things like the cakewalk and the competition in order to please the master, in order to get that extra bag of flour or that extra ham. But when people won, they didn't keep it for themselves. It was about getting these extra provisions to then distribute amongst the community so that all the children would have something better to eat or something to eat at all. And then it just grew because in the TOBA circuit, in you competed, you were inspired, you were motivated. Because for me, people who are in competition, that's a profession unto itself. As some of the people talked about, there's a standard you got to raise to. There's criteria. And no matter what culture you come from, I used to watch this the Irish dancers upstate, and they started training just like that young man said, as a young age, going for the best you can be. And we all know we don't have a good day every day, and you can't please everybody all the time. So as Miss Sylvia Sykes says, no matter who and what you do, you're doing it for yourself. There are people in the community that when I grew up, there would be these ladies that would come to the cat clubs from Staten Island. And when these ladies walked in the door, us little ones, we just sat our asses down so that we could take a lesson. And you see people like Frankie and George Lloyd, the older, like the grown-ups, and they'd be like, ooh, we're gonna dance with them now. And then you see how each man danced with these women, and these women had this special groove. One of the women was the wife of Eric Dixon from the Count Basie Orchestra. She could swing out, but then she could be smooth and gentle. For me and for most of us in that room, no matter who we, those were our inspirations. Those were the winners. Those were the people we grew from. And as that man at the end of the thing talk about, you got to find your own voice. What you bring to jazz is who you are. And the more you discover about yourself, the more you've got to share with the world, no matter if you want to try to be a winner or if you just come in to dance. And hanging out is very important. Just being with people, dancing together. Yeah, even if you don't know their name, half the people at the cat club, I didn't know their name, but we just saw each other every Sunday. And that creates community, and it creates motivation. It creates discipline, because if you want more, you shoot for more. And culture, yes, it's in our culture, because improvisation, being able to compete for the oppressor so that we could get some more from him to take care of our families and our immediate communities. There's a wonderful documentary on Louis Armstrong where he, in his own words, tell of his strategy. And so for so many years, people called him a Tom, and he was doing this. And he said, I might not have been on the lines marching, but he made that money so he could put money in the till to help communities. And a community of Queens, every school that has his name had a literacy program to make sure every child knew how to read. Those are the things, and how competition, or the illusion of competition, and the motivation of being the best you can be, all comes out in jazz. Because if we talked about technique, Dizzy Gillespie would not be the trumpet player he was, because them puffed out lips is not something you're supposed to do based on European technical technique of trumpet playing. But it gave him a sound that made him special, that everybody in the world was able to celebrate and appreciate. And I think I better stop now.
No, please don't. Please don't. Miss Mickey Davidson, everybody. Yeah.
I'm going to end with my new thing. Congressman John Lewis said, just because you can make change a law doesn't mean you can change people's hearts. But Frankie Manning and that whole realm of elders in their own way, not only did they change people's hearts in America, but they changed people's hearts all over the world. And these events should be about the continuation of softening people's hearts and empathy and bringing us as human beings together. So now I'm finished.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Miss Mickey. I don't know what to say after that. again, I need to share the back story of it.
When we had this idea of IHC Europe, and I had a lot of conversation with my fellow colleagues over here, like I think we talked a lot with Tasha, with Tina, with a little bit of everybody about what to bring and how to complete a vision. And Miss Mickey, because of other interaction that we have, I asked her to be with us, and she couldn't be with us. And I didn't know in which way, but it was important for me to have a presence with us and to bless us with her wisdom. And it was important for me to have her, to have you at the beginning of the weekend, even though I knew that the theme wasn't connected to, like, directly connected. She told me, I'm not connected with the competition scene. But we talked yesterday a lot. I came back home and we talked for almost an hour. And I shared with her my vision, and today she told me, I know what I'm gonna say. So I think, to me, again, thank you very much. Having you with us, even throughout this context, is a blessing. So thank you for being with us. Thank you for blessing us with your words.
And thanks for all the teachers and the judges sharing. The last little thing is, now that you're are talking about competition, look at how this event can maybe have some new updated rules or criteria for competition. How can you update it to incorporate all the different styles and the different, so that's your challenge. Because I ain't going either, you know, as the brothers talk about, when you get on the dance floor, either people like you or they don't like you. But you're doing what you do, and you're doing it the best you can. Yeah. So, all right, I'm going to stop.
Give it up, everybody. She can hear you.
All right, y'all.
We love you. And also, happy
love
birthday.
Y'all too. Thank you. I hit the big 7-0. So I'm celebrating just being alive. And now I can talk just like normal. I can say whatever I feel like saying.
Thank you for tuning in to What a Jazz Podcast. The episode was created together with the music of Dimitrio Papa, the visuals of Linda Vilnishkita, and the support from the Swinging Europe Network project. You can follow our updates and the new episodes on What a Jazz Facebook page. Take care, goodbye, and until next time.